Now, what I want to do in the next part of the shir is, I said, random horrors. I have about 18, 20 random horrors and all types of parts of Hilchos Nida. I stopped to think, what are things that people typically, you know, don't exactly understand? I have in proper order. So, you'll take them down in that sense, you put them in any order that you want them to be in. But as I said, they're basically a random collection. Let's start with the beginning. You know, we have one of the great machlekes in the halacha has to do with when the day begins and when the day ends. So we know the Shulchan Aruch and basically through all the Rishonim and all the Gdolei Achronim, the Hogan Avraham and the Taz, etc., everybody signed on to Rabbeinu Tam's view. But it tells you the Vilna Gaon came in the 18th century and the Vilna Gaon said, Leizu Aderach, the Gaonim are right, and the Gaon changed the world. So we know we have this phenomenon of Achleikas which reverberates Arayay Mazeh. Right, the Chassidim and the Masnagdim have totally different zmanim. So this we all know. But we have to know when it comes to Hilchos Vestis, this machlokes is bottle. It has, in Hilchos Vestis, it does not have any relevance. The Hilchos Vestis, we go by a daytime vest, is one that occurs after sunrise. A nighttime vest is one that occurs after the sun sets. That's it. There's no Ben Ashmoshes, there's no Rabbeinu Tamzman, no Grozman, it's all irrelevant. You go, you follow sunrise, sunset. We'll go in order, I said. I told you there are random horrors. When do we do, the women have to do a bedika in the morning, let's say during the, you know, the Zayin Nikiyam. So, the Lachatchilas do one in the morning and one in the afternoon. The morning one, when should it be done? So this is important. It's important more so in the winter than in the summer months. But the Lachatchilas is supposed to be done after sunrise, after the Zricha. So it may be somewhat problematic sometimes during the year when the Zricha gets to the Zricha, could be at 7:30 in the morning. But the Chatchila should be after the Zricha. B'diyaved, it's good after Amar HaShachar. But the Chatchila is to do it after the Zricha. So this is also something not well known. Now, this halacha that one has to do a bedika b'yama vest. So this whole shyness, how many bedikas should a woman do? One bedika, two bedikas. So there's a sheet that holds two bedikas. And Ramosha had a different spin. Ramosha said that one bedika suffices, which should be near the end of the vest. But that the woman should wear white underwear the whole day of the vest. It's a daytime vest, so that, because the Chavos Das wrote, there should be a moch dochuk, the entire Yema vest. But as Ramosha observed, it's not a very workable solution. Most people are going to wind up with a lot of problems if they try that, of being extremely irritated. So Ramosha said not to go in that direction, but to do one bedika at the end of the vest, and we are white the whole day. Now the notion of white is a bedika you can find in Rashi in the top of Yud Gimel Amud Beis and Masechta Shabbos. In Takaras Ezra, that you have to wear levonim and design the kiyam, so Rashi indicates it's a form of bedika. So that's where Moshe was coming from with this, and that suffices for bedika b'yama vest. Now if there's one shaila that's there's more difficulty with it, probably any other shayla in Hilchos Nida, is the following. someone comes to me that they forgot to do a bedika and it's already half an hour after Shkia, what do they do? If I had a dollar for every time I was asked to shayla, I'd be a very rich man, Rabbi Yisrael.
Can't do a bedika when?
Before I have sektaris, I didn't do it before Shkia. If I had a dollar for every time I was asked to shayla, I'd be very rich. So I thought about it a lot, and I come to the following solution, and I understand that there are other Mirei Harod that came to this conclusion too. That on the day of a Hefsek Tyra, when a woman gets up in the morning, she should do a Bedika. Now, you're not supposed to rely upon Bedika Shachris. Bedika is supposed to be in the afternoon. True. So she should do a Bedika again in the late afternoon before Shkia. But what happens, because, you know, the days are hectic. Most of the women are working, you know, and 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they could be swamped with work. They don't have a chance to think about anything at that point in time. And then all of a sudden they wake up and it's, you know, it's an hour after Shkia already. So in 99% of the cases, if they did Bedika Shachris, it'll work. So that I should do it, and if they miss the afternoon one, then go ask a Rav and tell them the Metzias, and in 99% of the cases, it'll be fine. Right? The only exception where it won't be fine is if she had a Riyas Yom Echad, when it's Le'ikuva to do a Medika in the afternoon for the Hefsek Tyra. Okay, so if it had, do it in the morning, and in 99% of the cases, if she forgets in the afternoon, you'll be fine. So this is a very, very good Eitzah. In the morning when people get up before they start the day, they still have the wits about them. You know, later, life and truths. Now, what happens if a woman feels irritated by the bedikas? So the simplest thing to do is take the cloth, make it wet, and wring it out. This is the most universally accepted heter of what shayach to do. And making it wet and wringing it out will make the cloth much softer, and most of the time that'll solve the problem. But that's the simplest eitzah if she's uncomfortable, you know, using a dry cloth. Now, many women have difficulties with the moich. Now, moich is certainly a din l'chatchila in the Shulchan Aruch. There's no question about it, but many women have problems with it. Their problem is that it irritates them, and that it makes it difficult to do the bedikas after that, because they get irritated by it. So if a woman has that particular problem, there is basis to be meikel, she should ask a shayla of a rov to discuss the shayla with them, when she should be meikel, when she shouldn't be meikel. In general, she should not keep the mochen for an overly lengthy period of time. I tell people usually about 25 minutes after Shkia, approximately, is fine already to take it out. Want to kvetch the half an hour? You can kvetch the half an hour, but I don't think there's any need beyond that. And it is, as I said, it produces a lot of problems of irritation. Now, there's a phenomenal Nodi B'Yehuda. Great Paiskim, so have the global view of things. They see the trees and they see the forest. And the Nodi B'Yehuda tells us to follow it. The Shulchan Aruch is machmer that we should do bedikas every single day of design the camp, and 2 bedikas a day. But that is mitzad chumra. Good. Chumra was supposed to keep, but it's mitzad chumra. What does the halacha require? What does the din require? The din absolutely requires, after the Hefsek Tyra, 1 bedika on the first day and 1 bedika on the 7th. Everything after that is icing on the cake. So what's the implication? We're still supposed to follow the Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Noda Ben Yehuda says, now I'll ask you to follow it. What happens if a woman has irritations? And the irritations produce shyness in the bedikas. And then we're scratching around to find a heter that she has a makkah, this, that, to dismiss dam that we see. So he says, we're far better off, you know, the Yehuda says, not doing those bedikas in the first place, which are only a chumrah. They're looking for a heter for them when we're dealing with a real shiloh. So mamela, if a person has difficulties with the bedikas, so he should ask a rov, but very, very often the rov will be mekel, that she should do a very limited number of bedikas during the Zayin Nikiyam, and this is in keeping with the Noda Ben Yehuda's teaching. Now this is particularly important, especially early in marriage. Early in marriage, people are more sensitive, and you have to be careful not to go overboard. So this is an insight, as I said, when you look from the glasses of the Noda Ben Yehuda, the world is a different place. Because the Noda Ben Yehuda sees the trees and he sees the forest. He sees what the din is, the ikra din, and he sees the chumras, and he sees exactly, and he sees what the consequences of being machmer when we're not supposed to be machmer. Generally speaking, when it comes to doing limited bedikas, most of it, even though pidin, you could limit it to day one and day seven, but most professional moiri ara are not going to tell you to do that. They're going to tell you to do one of the middle days, three or four, besides seven, and the reason for that is the following. If a woman does a bedika on day one, and now she forgets to do a bedika on day seven, so there's going to be that gap, and she's first coming on day eight, she's going to have problems, that she already lost Yom Aleph, if there's more than 6 days, if she went past the sixth day. So she's going to have to start designing the kiyum again. So, if there's not such a gap, if she did one and four, even if she forgot seven, she could do it on eight. So that's the way. Most Murray Haro will not tell you to do just one and seven. They'll tell you to do one, do four or three, and do seven, if that's the circumstance. Now, I'm going to stop at this point. If there are any questions about what we've done until now, let's take.
When should she do bedika when the best is nighttime?
When she gets up in the morning. One bedika, yes. It doesn't. If we're assuming she'll wear white the whole night, she's only mechoyev one bedika. So she's not mechoyev a bedika at the beginning of the vest. And she should do it at the end of the vest. And she's not mechoyev to wake up before dawn, you know, to before the sun rises to make the bedika. When she gets up, she'll do the bedika.
The Rav said that bedi'evet after Amud HaShachar, bedika can be done for the Shivnikim. What would qualify as a bedi'evet situation?
She did it, or whatever. She won't be able to do it later. Whatever the case, one of those two cases. Oftentimes she did it. She didn't realize it's before sunrise.
That's the literal
bedi'evet. Yes, Shas HaTchak is ki bedi'evet. Yeah. Rav
said to make it wet, it's difficult.
Yes.
Did Rav say something?
Bring it out.
Bring it, what does that mean?
Bring it out. Squeeze out the water.
Let's say Shabbos.
You can't do that Shabbos, so, you know.
So,
probably what I would advise you to do is to make it wet, wring it out before Shabbos, and then put it in plastic. So it's still a little bit wet, but it's not going to give off water anymore.
Should that be water, or can it be any lubricant?
It's water is the best. Every all poiskim and maskim. If the difficulty is not enough, we matter when Moshe was matter other lubricants too.
Isn't it okay to bring out the water?
You should, otherwise nothing's going to stay on it. It's not, you know.
The Lord Kappa, is it, when you said 30 minutes, is that for everyone or only for someone who is hard?
No, I don't think that you need to do more than that.
What
is the Lord? It's difficult to do. The Rashita is 25, 30 minutes after Shki is already Tzeis HaKachovim. So, Dayenu to be Machmer with that.
And if the Moch messes her up,
Does she do a moich the next day? The answer is, it's not so easy to answer this question, but I'll answer it. No, the reason is the following. Rav Moshe is a tzavos meikel, but only for B'nai Torah. Because they will not come to make mistakes in Hilchos Nida. Rav Moshe learned, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yom Sheposka Bo Milirois, you have to do a moch dochot, means the day that you think you could do a hefsek tire. After that, you're not mechuyev to do a moch. Okay. No, for everybody. I don't think. You want to be machmir 30 minutes, Malayla. More than that, I don't see. The difficulties that come from it, I don't think it could die.
Doing the Bidika in the morning, for a half second in the morning?
Yes.
What was the case that wasn't?
If she's going to have a one-day re'il at that point, she'll sit suddenly start seeing dam again, then it won't be good.
And then what would happen?
That she had a one-day re'il. You can't do, in other words, if the day before she saw dam, a one-day re'il, then you have to do a hefsek in the evening. You can't do it in the morning. Whatever, it's a case, one case in the Shulchan Aruch. That's what I told you. Go to the Rav will figure out if you're in that case, you know.
And you would need 5 more days from that?
When? No. You did the 5 days. Once you did the 5 days, you don't do the 5 days again. Okay, on with Rav Isa. What else? Okay, I didn't know I was so clear that everything is as
above. How long before Skia qualifies as
the
Chathchila son of Skia?
I believe, certainly from Plaga Mincha, is certainly fine. And maybe even if I think the Shulchan Aruch indicates, I think in the Beis Yosef from Mincha Ketana, no.
The Chachil Amanus.
Yes, I believe the Beis Yosef indicates from Mincha Ketana and on. Yeah, for a Hefsa. Yeah. Afternoon Bedikas, so from Mincha Ketana and on. The Chachil. It's the Beis Yosef.
When you said to put lubricants and the Bedikas, so how much do you put on?
Not a ton. Put on a minimal amount.
Putting water on the cloth on Shabbos, not wringing it up, but putting the cloth, it's, the water on the cloth, and then using it wouldn't cause chita?
It's putting water, even if you don't wring it up, it'll probably cause chita. And you'll have another problem that there's in Shin Beis, there's a machlekes of 2 days in the tour. Do we say shriyasu zehu kibusa on something which is clean or not? So you really can't put water almost on anything. Right. So put on water on Shabbos. Ain't no.
So,
that's why I said you can't do this on Shabbos. Okay, anything else?
The one, four, and seven.
Yeah.
Why is it that if you do four, then you can do it on the 8th day?
You can't have more than, you can't have a 6 day gap.
And then you're allowed to just check.
Then because if you don't have, then you're continuing the. It doesn't break up the whole count. In other words, this is a series, the 1, 4, and 7. So if you have a gap of that order, that's it. It ended.
Where he was saying about after Shkia, where he gets a lot of calls about what they can do to Diva. Is there a time after Shkia?
That I don't make statements like that to Chathchila. If someone has a shayla and it's a shasat chak, I'll be done on it.
She did 1 and 4, and then didn't do 7.
She could do 8.
Right. Let's say she remembered in the evening after Shkia.
So she has to wait till the next day. Okay.
I was taught that if it's Shkia ever passed, just do it, and then ask later.
Oh, that's always a wise idea.
Rebbe just said to them that there's no point.
I didn't say that. In that case, she said a case that it was day 7 and Shkia passed already, or whatever, day 8, so normally it's not, you wait till the next day. You have an issue, you do it, you know, come and ask a shayla if you want. And sometimes on rare occasion there'll be a way out. Okay. Let's proceed. There's a whole shaila. It's really it's a machlekes rishonim in the sugya nida. When is this man to make do the chafifa, the preparations for the tefillah? And there are two shittas. Each one has its own perspective. Very interesting in perspective. There's a shita that says to do the preparations mitvat yom during the daytime. Why? Because since the woman can't go to the mikveh then, she's not going to be in any hurry. She has to wait anyhow to go to the mikveh so she'll prepare. On the other hand, there's a shita that says to do it belailo, because the closer you are to the tefillah, the less likely you're going to have any chatzitza, which is going to wind up on your body before you go to the mikveh, in between the chafifa and the tefillah. So this is a shaylan rishonim, it's a shaylan achronim, which shita we paskin like. And the Chofetz Chaim paskin is like the shach, the Chofetz Chaim and the Mishnah Berurah. Paskin is like the shach, that the ikar prachon is mibayid yoyim, that it's not always possible, bizmaneinu, if I'm going to work, you're not able to do it. That's, we'll come back to that. But the ikar achon is mibayid yoyim. Now, one of the consequences of that is, what happens if there's a tefillah on Motzei Shabbos? So, when is the chafifa? On Erev Shabbos or on Motzei Shabbos? The shach says that you're supposed to do an Erev Shabbos. Now, the shach places a limitation on it. That this is maximum for a two-day yontif. On a three-day yontif, and she has to go motzi a three-day yontif, like say, let's say this year the first day is a Pesach, and then it'll be a three-day yontif, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So let's say a woman has to go to the mikveh Motzei Shabbos, so he says she cannot do the preparation on Wednesday afternoon for that. Before a 2 day yontif, yes, before a 3 day yontif, not. So this is the lechatchila of what a person should do for Motzei Shabbos and Motzei Yontif. Now, if they're not able to do it, so then they should do it in the night time, and we try to set at least some minimum amount of time. I'm not going to make a zman for you. The Divrei Chaim, Rav Chaim Tzanzer, created a minhag which is very used in the Chassidish community, not in Oz B'davka, but in the Chassidish community, that if a woman didn't do the Hachonos M'Bayayim, she had to do a chafif of an hour. So Mameila, Rav Chaim Tzanzer wanted to do was, he took away all rush. That's it. Now you have to be here for an hour, so you're not going anyplace, so you might as well just take your time and do a good job, because this is how long you have to be here. So in the Chassidish world, I think they follow what Rav Chaim Tzanzer is. In the Misnagdish world, Nishbedavka, but she has to have a significant, preparation time. She shall make have his mind for preparation. It's 20 minutes, 25 minutes, half an hour, but to prepare if she's doing it Belayla. So it's not in a rush to get to the end of it. I tell people all the time that there are three levels of Pesachim when it comes to Maris. And I'll tell you what the three levels of Pesachim are. And
the Rav say you can backtrack to if you don't have time by day?
What?
Did the Rav say you can backtrack to not having time by day? Or that was,
I said, if you don't have time by day, make a zman. It'll be 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes, half an hour, but there should be a zman. That's berevach for what she needs, Now, there are three levels of Pesachim on Mars. There are the women, their husbands, and the Rov. And in that order, it's from the most machmer to the most mekel. And it's a very simple thing. The Rav spent a long time in his life understanding how to paskin maaros. And Mamela, he understands far better all the factors that are involved, and he has a far sharper eye of what the colors actually are than people who are not Isaac in that all the time. It's a very simple fact. You know, people every kala after she's married thinks every mara is red. It's a fact. You know. So what I mean to tell you about all of this is, don't be so quick to be machma. You have a shayla? Go to the Rav. Especially in the first few years you're married, where you don't have a lot of experience altogether. You don't really know what to expect. You know, after a while, you'll get some idea, not everything, but some idea of what, you know, the Rav's parameters are, of what, you know, is definitely mutter, what's definitely osur, and what shailas are.
When you get that sense, do you stop messing around?
What?
When you get that sense of...
When you're 100% sure if something's dumb or it's totally out of it, then you don't have to ask the Rav. But if you're not 100% sure, still ask the Rav. And usually, not kedai to be machmer without coming to ask the Rav. Because there could be many other factors, even if it is dumb, that the Rav knows that you don't know, which will allow the Rav to be makel in many, many situations. So it's usually, before you start being machmer, go ask the Rav. Now, in this light, there is something which has happened in the last, I would say, 10 years or so, maybe 15 years, which is a very positive step forward. And that is that if a woman finds staining when she didn't expect it, or on a bedik all of a sudden in the middle of the Zion, the Kiyam, she has some Aradam, which is just totally off the charts for her. She's not, you know, on day four, she's not, doesn't find this type of Mara. She should go to the Rav right away, because we have a new institution in the Jewish community, and it's a phenomenal thing. We have women that are called Beitkos, or Bodekas, the singular. And these are women that have training. A lot of them, in fact, are trained in the medical field. There are one that I use as a nurse, one that I use as a PA, and they're far better than the doctors at finding the makas. They're tuned in on how to do it, and they find it, and they're very, very precise, and they're very good. And the problem is that there's a maka oftentimes, and you don't go today to take care of it. The makas are not huge gashes most of the time. They're slight things. And if you wait, by tomorrow it's going to heal. It's not so easy to find anymore. So there's a shayla comes up. When a shayla comes up that you don't expect, it seems a little bit strange, it's go to the Rav right away. And the Rav will look at it. And the Rav should have a good sense after he observes it, if it's dam of a maka or not. Now, we can't paskin on that basis. A maka has to be that we know there's a maka. I can have the best theory in the world that there's a maka, and I still can't paskin there's a maka. Rav Moshe Zatzal told us the Kalman Hunt, all of Hashalom. I heard this from Rav Kalman. He asked Rav Moshe about it. So Rav Moshe said, and this is Muskim and the Paiskim, and Rav Yosha went to war on this point, that he said, I want to ask you something. A woman that's postmenopausal, that sees dam, what do you think the dam is? Does your seichel not tell you it's dam maka? Right, but what's the halacha? She's tmeya. Right, we cannot postulate makas by the best theories in the world. We have to, by observation, know it is a maka. Now, in consequence of that, it's important to come right away. Now, the Rav will often, though, I learned, it's very interesting, I'll tell you about it. I learned this by Rav Vozhna Zatzal. When I spent time in the base of Rav, Rav Vozhna. So one of the things that I learned there, many things I learned there. But one of the things that I learned there was to have a good understanding when you look and get a Mara, if it's Dam Mako or it's Dam Nidra. As I said, I believe it's Dam Mako, I can't be Matar on that basis. But I'll tell you, listen, you should certainly go to the Bodekas, you're probably going to find the Mako there. And I would say about 90% of the time or so I'm right, that there's a Mako there. About 90% I would think, of the time. Once in a while, it doesn't connect. Probably maybe even upwards of 90%. Why? And that's like nothing I can explain now. But Dam Mako and Dam Nidra look different. And then I heard once that there was a Maisa on Lakewood long, long ago, maybe 70 years ago or so, something like that. 60 years ago, there was a Maisa on Lakewood that a woman was having a hard time becoming Tahira. So her husband took the Maris and he went to New York and he went to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe looked at the Mara and Rav Moshe said, go to the doctor, she has a Mako. And the sharpest guys in Lakewood, like, they were astounded, like, what in the world is Rav Moshe talking about? Da Mako, how does he know such a thing, you know? So then she went to the doctor and oh no, she had a Mako. So the guy that told it to me said, that's not... After I learned Rav Moshe, it's no chiddush. Rav Moshe obviously do the same thing. So it's important if you see a Mara at a time that you don't expect to see it. You know, it looks like Dam. Go to the Rav, and oftentimes the Rav will direct you to go to Rav Bedekas. And right here in Kew Gardens, you don't have to travel any place. There's one locally, right here. A woman with tremendous Yirah Shemayim. She refuses to pass in any shaylas. She'll just call me up and tell me this is the Metzias. That's all. Well, what does the Rav want to paskin with? She will not paskin any shaylas at all. But she's very good. She's a PA and she knows her business. Now this is an important halacha, it's a halacha in Tzimekuf Tzadi. And it's an easy place to make a mistake. Generally we know that ksomim have to have a shear. And the shear that's most muskim in the world is the American penny. You know, so I presume the American penny is going to exist at B.S. Goyal for that reason, you know. Now, if you look on the page in the Eurodeo, like they have a thing with nine dots to show the size of a kesem, put a per penny on it, the American penny, that's the size of an American penny. But the American penny is muskum in the world, and that's the shear of a kesem. Now, there's a difference between a kesem that's found in a beged and a kesem that's found in the body. A kesem in the body, B'paskin, also needs a shear, but with one major difference. It doesn't need a shear b'makom echad. It could be dispersed. On a shear, on a beged, a kesem has to be all in one place. If it's broken up in different spots, and none of the spots are a penny, even though collectively all the spots together are more than a penny, she's to her. But in the kesem on the guf, then even if it's not b'makom echad, it's a shayla that I discussed with Rav Yoshev Zatzal. So that's important to know. Now there's an issue, and this often comes up with varying types of birth control, sometimes with the IUD, certain types of hormonal interventions. The periods, a woman may not really get regular periods when she's using certain types of birth control. And So she has to be very, very careful in that situation. In the beginning of Hilchos Nida, we find the halacha that afilu tipas dam kechardel, even if there's a drop of dam as big as a mustard seed, it's metame. And the shaf adds to that, even pochus mizah. So one has to be very, very careful that you can have very light periods under these. You can have them so as postpartum, you'll have them, and you can have them with various types of birth control. So if there's staining going on, it's a time that you have to go ask the Rav under those circumstances. If you have to be purged, you should wait 24 hours if she's tahara. And many times I've come to the conclusion that once a woman sees under those type of circumstances even a small amount of dam, but on three consecutive days, that she has to keep 5 and 7. So this you have to be very careful about when now part of the problem is that around the time of the expected vests, the woman should not be wearing black, because they have no idea what's going on if you wear black. They should wear light colored, not pink. They should wear the blue or like a beige. So if there is dam, you can pick it up. And sometimes it'll become necessary that when she goes to the restroom, when she wipes, she should examine the toilet paper. But this is all things you need to explore with the rope. But don't just assume that, you know, she's not getting a period. She may be getting a very light period, and you have to be very sensitive to that. This is a thing that I learned through a lot of observation in Hilchos Nida with postpartum women, but it applies, as I said, to people that are on various types of birth control too.
You only have to check if you're seeing spotting or just in general during the.
Listen, if it's around that time of the month, it's kedai at least to wipe a little bit in the bathroom and check, or check the underwear if it's a light colored. But if she's spotting, she certainly has to be very careful.
In the circumstances that the Rav described about birth control and postpartum, where light staining can be a problem, this is something to discuss with the Rav, even if you're dealing with a baguette, a kesson that you know is not the shear?
Yes, yes. It goes into Hilchus of Ves, not in Hilchus Ksava. In general, it's not the best idea. You could wear colored, but wear a light colored, not pink.
She should also check the toilet paper in the bathroom.
If she starts to feel something, yeah. In other words, if a woman feels something's happening, you can't close your eyes to what's going on. Nothing's going on is one thing, but if something you feel something's happening, then you have to check. You can't just ignore it. You don't necessarily need to do an internal bedika, but at least externally to wipe and look.
Postpartum, even if she's not feeling something, she should check.
What?
But postpartum, even if she's not
feeling
something,
she should check.
Well, listen,
the time that she has to check, you know, we have a statement, what's in a bain, and it's about v'chila oilom l'sira, right? So now, she's postpartum. Her vest is going to come back sometime, right? She's a healthy woman. So, you can't just close your eyes and, I don't see anything, you know? At some point, you know, she has to be tuned in to what's going on with us.
So
what?
So then normally she should check also even if she's not feeling anything.
Listen, as I say, at some point after she knows herself, I can't tell you what to do the first time that she's postpartum, but if she has some idea of what her tendency is.
I'm saying even in a regular time, if she's not postpartum, she
No, so the regular time, she'll normally listen. What does she have to? Until there's a vest, you know when to expect it.
So she checked the toilet paper then?
On the time of the vest, yeah.
Around that time?
Yeah.
I mean, even if she's not feeling anything.
Yeah, on the time of the vest, listen, it's one of the strong possibilities of when it's going to come.
In terms of there's slight staining at the time of the vest, and then it does turn into a full-blown vest, does it start from...
Okay, I wanted to leave this for the share on Vestas, but I happen to be, it's in tonight's notes, so I'll tell it to you now, and Baz Hashem will come. I'll probably review it again next week in the share on Vestas, but it's in the notes. I decided to skip it, to leave it for the share on Vestas, but you asked it. The question is the following, and this is a very tricky question. Yeah, a woman stains a little bit, and then the next day she gets a vest. So when do you count the vest from? And when do you count the 5 days from? So if they were purged from the time of the staining, they can count the 5 days from the time of the staining. Because she thought that we're going to get a vest. But in terms of actually the calendar day for the vest, it should count from the Ikur flow.
Being purged includes her chuppahs.
What?
Being purged includes her chuppahs.
At least physical archakas. I don't know if passing things, but physical archakas.
Can you elaborate on what is a flow? I think that that's a very difficult point.
Let the lady, when it...
And with the fill of the quote of the Rav, the ladies do not know. I've heard from many people, the ladies do not know.
Listen, when it, the flow is when it gets to the heaviest, it reaches like the heaviest point it's going to reach. That's the flow.
The heaviest point it's going to reach is, it's already bleeding steadily before it reaches the heaviest point. That's
yes, yes, case. Yes, but you
so
count
the
from...
the heaviest point is the flow?
Yes.
So even if it's flowing steadily... before it reaches the
well, it doesn't flow steadily, otherwise it bleeds to death. That's not exactly what
happens. Fortunately. If they're continually changing the paths, that's what they call steady. If they're continually changing the paths, but it's not yet reached the heaviest point, you don't start counting vessels.
You don't have to count. You count from when it gets the heaviest, yes. Okay.
Can I just clarify again? When Rose said that when it's near the time of the best, if a woman should check toilet paper in the bathroom, if she doesn't feel anything going on, around the time the vest is coming, should she or shouldn't she check?
She should check a little bit, once or twice during the day, if it's around the time of the vest, yeah.
Yeah, the vest of the row is toilet paper and towels warm, and if it is, then if she checks with the toilet paper and it turns out not to be...
You need a share. Most of the time she'll need a share. We'll come to that next time. I don't want to talk about it today. But what I learned was Kibalti from Ramosh is that it's not an absolute heter, it's a tziruf. It's a sniff lahokal. So I'm not on toilet paper. But we're dealing, it's close to the time of the vest, so she asked that she can't ignore, you know, what's going on with herself.
Practically speaking, if she sleeps on the toilet paper, then it turns out not to be
done. So it has to have a shear also. It's not so likely to have a shear if nothing's happening. I don't get too many times a shear.
What does it mean around the vest? The day before and the day after?
Well, whatever. Or the day of the vest itself. I don't know if the day before. Maybe if she starts to feel symptomatic, then maybe the day before she should check, you know.
Back to what asked her about the flow. It could be a few days apart. Does that make any difference? If the hafrasha is one, let's say on the day that she starts standing, then a few days later it could be the heaviest part. Is that a problem?
Ask a shayla in that case. There are chalukah days on it, whatever. But ask a shayla in that case.
Yeah, and separating that, to start counting the five, the rest of the day you start counting five when you separate.
Yes.
That's if you separate because... and you see it's not the shear, but you see that it's coming, and so you separate the chomer, or you separate...
Even if you separate, because you think it may be the beginning of the vest, that's also enough.
Not the beginning of the vest, the beginning of the... Meaning, if you see that you don't have a shear, but you know that it's coming...
Well, you may anticipate it's the beginning of the vest. Mm-hmm. You're telling me, listen, it's close to the time of the vest, and she's starting to stain. Mm-hmm. So it could very well be the beginning of the vest. We're not talking about when to be koveya de oino. We're talking about that the vest may be beginning. And that's what Tommy
is.
No. She's, when the vest begins, she is Tmeya. That's a whole different story, when it begins and when we're going to count from. That's a two different shilas. The counting of the five is whenever she's Pirish. If she's Pirish because she has a Suffolk, even Rav Vojna writes, even if she's Pirish, be Suffolk.
What if you don't have Suffolk? You know that this is not the shear. You look at it and you see this is not shear.
Yeah, but you may, she, why she perish? Because she thinks a vest may be beginning. If she was machlet, then it's nothing.
You know it's going to start any...
Any whatever. Start. She thinks that this is the beginning of it. In Ramayla, she's perish. So that's enough to count to 5 days.
Why is that saying she? What if it's a joint decision? If she
whatever, I don't care. I'm talking she. It's the lady's business, you know?
If someone's starting to count to 5 days...
Yes.
From when they were Pirish, because they didn't speak at the beginning of the vest.
Yeah.
That beginning of the vest isn't Kaveh Zayna?
Not necessarily. Oftentimes not.
Now you're in the Ikur
yes,
flow.
Yes, yes.
Let's say circumstantial, they were separated, they were out of
town. That does not help, circumstantially. That's a Mefurish in the Ramah. That even if they weren't together and they were Pirish, you still have to count separate 5 days.
Can you decide to be Pirish?
No, you can't decide to be Pirish. No, you have to be Osir.
that's why I was asking Michelle about, if you know that you're not yet ulcer, but you see it coming soon, is that that considered perish for that day?
What?
If I see today, an hour before Shkia, that they're staining, and I know it's not a shear, so I know we're not ulcer.
Well, it doesn't mean
that.
So
but I know it's coming.
That's not correct, your statement. Even if it's not a share, if it's the beginning of the vest, she's asur. You don't need a share. You don't need a share.
Just to clarify that, I'm not sure. I mean, sometimes, let's say, OM birth control will know when she stops around that in 3 days or 4 days she's going to get a period.
Yes.
So those 3 days before, she can't be porish if there's no spotting and nothing.
No, she doesn't have to be perish.
No, but if she's porish, she...
No.
She
cannot count those days, correct. We'll come back to that in the Din of Vestas. Now, I want to talk about a couple of more halachas that we have time for. Now, the halacha by a yoledes, I'm only talking mitzad adin. I'm not talking mitzad refuah, and I'm not a doctor, and I stay out of refuah. So that, the refuah part is between you and your doctor. I'm not advising you what to do mitzad refuah. But mitzad adin, that after a zocher is born, a woman cannot go to the mikveh for 7 days, and after an akeva, she cannot go to the mikveh for 14 days. That's what the halacha requires. Now, after that, when you want to go to the mikveh or not, that's between you and the doctor, and I stay out of that part. As I tell people all the time, I don't dabble in disciplines that I didn't spend my life in.
Can I ask a question about Amara?
You can ask.
Is there a time to show Amara, like right away at night or during the day or like when the person's going to wet or dry?
The time... Listen, Dom does not go away. Okay? And if you want to be sure that Dom doesn't go away, the next time that you have a nosebleed or you cut your finger, take a piece of cloth, dip it in the Dom, put it in your drawer for a month and take it out. It's still going to look like Dom. You know, so I don't have this mad rush. Bedikas should normally be looked at in the daytime. Only real Shasat Chak should you look at them at night. And there are certain bedikas that you cannot be done at night. There's a certain point where the browns and reds come close enough together that without the sunlight, you cannot be done on them. You just can't see them. And they could look red in the artificial light, and in the sunlight, they'll be clearly brown. But I don't see any mad rush. I don't know, there's people in the world that think you have to have a mad rush through. Come to the Rav when you come, and whatever, it'll be fine. I did see very little shash, you know, that could change over a number of days when you don't come.
And if, for example, it looks bad at one point, but maybe if you wait, it looks better?
I'll tell you, Rav Vozhner Zatzal was a phenomenal, phenomenal mumcha and hilchos leader. Phenomenal. And in the Sefer, the Shevel HaLevi and Hilchos Nida writes the following, that by and large, we're not bekiyim on wet Mars. So he says, for that reason, he's not concerned about how a Mara looks when it's wet and what he thought it was when it's wet. He'll be done on it, irrespective of that, when he sees it dry. Because a wet Mara glistens, and it's very hard, it throws the eye off. And if someone with the level of expertise of Rav Vozhner Zatzal could write that in a sefer, so it's certainly true for the rest of us in this world. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, this is shir number one. As I told you, the shir number two next week, as it's Hashem, which will be on Monday night, here at Hashem at 8 o'clock, will be principally on our Chokas, Investors, and maybe a little bit on Chatzitzes.